A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's been living inside a tough-built clip tech belt for 3 months now, and it's rewired how he sees the world. He's spotting melee panels on backpacks, chest bags on hikers, leg rigs on photographers, and wondering why we can't all just dress like a unified load-bearing organism without looking like we're about to breach a door. He wants to know how we got from duty belts that wreck cop spines to modern biomechanically informed systems. Which companies are actually advancing the science rather than just selling pouches? How Molly and chest rigs and EDC belts work ergonomically? And then the elephant in the room. Why every solution makes you look like an operator?
That last part is where the whole industry stalls out, honestly. You can engineer the perfect load distribution system and nobody will wear it if it makes them look like they're cosplaying a SWAT team at the grocery store.
So today we're mapping the landscape of body as carry system. The engineering, the ergonomics, and the aesthetics problem that nobody in the industry wants to talk about.
Let's start with the problem that kicked all of this off. The humble duty belt and the spines it destroyed.
Grim opening. I'm here for it.
Police duty belts typically carry 15 to 20 pounds of equipment. Handgun, magazines, handcuffs, radio, taser, flashlight, baton. All of it hanging off the hips. And usually loaded asymmetrically because most officers are right-handed and holster their weapon on the dominant side. Studies on this are brutal. Asymmetric hip loading increases lumbar compression by up to 30% compared to symmetric loads. Over years of foot patrol, that shifts your gait, compresses discs unevenly, and leads to chronic lower back pain and hip dysplasia. It's not a comfort problem, it's a degenerative injury problem.
30% more compression just from where you hang the weight. That's not a marginal tweak, that's a design failure. And I'm imagining the mechanics of this. If you've got 15 pounds pulling down on your right hip and nothing on your left, your body has to constantly engage muscles on the opposite side just to keep your pelvis level. You're fighting asymmetry all day.
Your quadratus lumborum on the unloaded side is firing constantly to prevent lateral pelvic tilt. That muscle isn't built for 8-hour isometric contractions. It fatigues, then your spine starts compensating, and now you've got shear forces on vertebrae that should only be experiencing compression. The injury cascade is almost inevitable given enough time.
So this was a known problem for how long before anyone did anything about it?
The problem was documented as early as the 1970s. Police departments knew their officers were developing chronic back issues at rates far above the general population. But the institutional response was basically, that's the job. You'd get a pension and a bad back. It took until the late 1990s and early 2000s for anyone to seriously treat this as an engineering problem rather than an occupational hazard you just accepted.
And it took decades for anyone to treat it as one. The early response, and this is where the military side of the story picks up, was to say, fine, move the weight off the hips and onto the torso. Vests, chest rigs, load-bearing equipment that wraps the upper body. But that introduced its own set of problems. Heat retention, restricted breathing, bulk that limits range of motion. You solve one thing and break two others. So this is where Molly enters the picture. And Molly is one of those terms people throw around without knowing what it actually is or where it came from.
MOL, Modular Lightweight Load, Carrying Equipment. Developed by the U.S. Army Natick Soldier Research, Development, and Engineering Center in the late 90s, fielded starting around 2001. The core idea is PALSS, webbing, PALS, Pouch Attachment Ladder System. It's a grid of horizontal rows of 1-inch nylon webbing stitched to the vest or pack at 1-inch intervals. Pouches have straps that weave through the webbing, which means you can attach anything anywhere. Infinite reconfiguration. That was the breakthrough.
So instead of a vest with fixed pouches sewn in specific places, you get a blank canvas and you build your loadout.
and the biomechanical insight, even if it wasn't framed that way at the time, was load distribution across the torso. Instead of 20 pounds pulling down on one hip, you spread it across your chest, your back, your sides. The weight sits closer to your center of gravity, which reduces the lever arm on your spine. Less torque, less fatigue.
Can we visualize the lever arm thing? Because I think that's the key concept that makes all of this make sense.
Sure. Think of your spine as a vertical pole. If you hang a weight off a bracket that sticks out 6 inches from the pole, the torque at the base is the weight multiplied by 6 inches. If you can move that same weight so the bracket only sticks out 2 inches, you've cut the torque by 2/3. That's what moving weight from your hips to your torso does. The weight is the same, but the distance from your spine's center of rotation is much smaller.
So the same 15 pounds can feel dramatically different depending on how far from your spine it sits.
And that's why a fanny pack worn tight against your lower back feels lighter than the same items in a messenger bag hanging off one shoulder. The messenger bag creates a much longer lever arm, especially when it swings outward as you walk. That swinging motion is additional dynamic loading that static weight measurements don't capture.
But the catch, and this is where the civilian adoption problem starts, is that MOLLE was designed for combat loads. 30 to 60 pounds of armor, ammunition, communications gear, water. The system is overbuilt for someone who needs to carry a multi-tool, a phone, and a snack bar.
Right. The webbing alone adds weight and bulk. A MOLLE vest empty could weigh 2 to 3 pounds before you put anything on it. For a soldier carrying 60 pounds of gear, that's noise. For a parent carrying diapers and wipes, it's absurd. So the civilian market had to take the concept, modular reconfigurable carry, and strip it down to something that made sense for 5 to 10 pounds of everyday items.
Which brings us to Toughbuilt, Daniel's gateway drug.
Toughbuilt's ClipTech system is clever. Instead of PAL-S webbing and straps, they use a magnetic quick-release clip mechanism. Each pouch snaps onto the belt with magnets rated for 50 pounds of pull force per pouch. You can swap pouches in seconds without threading anything. The biomechanical insight here is different from MOLLE's. MOLLE optimizes for load security over long missions where you're not reconfiguring. ClipTech optimizes for context switching. Drill to diaper to measuring tape in the span of an afternoon.
Daniel's exact life, and I've seen him do this. He walks in the door, unclips his work pouches, clips on a pouch that's basically a mobile baby station, and he's in dad mode in under 10 seconds. It's impressive.
And the belt itself uses a load-bearing inner belt that wraps the hips. It's wider and more rigid than a standard tool belt, which distributes weight more evenly around the pelvic girdle rather than concentrating it at 2 points. So you get some of the hip loading benefit without the asymmetric disaster of a traditional duty belt.
The magnetic clip thing is what gets me. 50 pounds of pull force. That's a lot of confidence in a magnet. What happens when you snag it on something?
That's the trade-off. MOLLE is slow to reconfigure, but nearly impossible to accidentally detach. ClipTech is fast, but relies on a mechanism that can fail if you exceed the pull force. For a construction site or a parenting scenario, 50 pounds is plenty. If you're sprinting through a door frame and the pouch catches, it might pop off. For military use, that's a deal breaker. For civilian EDC, it's probably fine.
Is there a middle ground? Something that's quick to swap but can't accidentally detach?
A few companies are experimenting with mechanical locking clips that require a deliberate two-step release. Think of a carabiner with a screw gate. You can clip and unclip quickly if you know the motion, but a snag won't open it. G-Code has their RTI wheel system for holsters that uses a rotating locking mechanism. It's fast when you know the technique, but it won't release from a random pull in the wrong direction. That's probably where the industry is heading. Magnetic attachment with a mechanical backup.
So we've got two philosophies. MOLLE says thread everything securely and leave it. ClipTech says snap on what you need right now and swap it when the context changes.
And there are other standards too. First Spear has a system called 612 that uses a laminate with laser cut slots instead of sewn webbing. Lighter, lower profile. Spiritus Systems and Feral Concepts use Velcro-based laminate systems where pouches sandwich onto a placard. Each approach trades off weight, speed, and security differently. The point is, MOLLE isn't the only modular standard. It's just the most famous one.
Now, let's talk about chest rigs, because this is where the ergonomics get really interesting and the aesthetics get really bad.
Chest rigs solve a specific problem that belts can't. When you're seated, in a vehicle, or at a desk, anything on your hips is inaccessible and uncomfortable. A chest rig moves the load to your sternum. Free hip movement, weight centered on the upper torso, and everything is in your line of sight. The Haley Strategic DC-3RX is a good reference point. Weighs about 8 ounces empty, carries 3 rifle magazines plus admin pouches. It's low profile, uses matte backing for airflow, and the whole thing is maybe half an inch thick when loaded.
8 ounces empty. That's nothing. My winter coat weighs more than that.
And the heat problem people associate with chest rigs is mostly from plate carriers, which have ballistic plates that trap heat. A modern chest rig like the DC-3RX breathes fine. The ergonomics are excellent. You can run, climb, crawl, sit in a car for hours. The weight sits where your skeletal structure handles it best.
And yet, if I wear one to Target, I look like I'm about to serve a warrant.
That's the design language problem. Laser-cut laminate, buckles, webbing, subdued colors, magazine-shaped pouches. Every visual cue says tactical. Even if what's in the pouches is diapers and goldfish crackers, the silhouette reads as law enforcement or, worse, vigilante. The companies making the best chest rigs, Haley Strategic, Spiritugic, Systems, Faro Concepts, designed for mission readiness first. Civilian aesthetics aren't on their roadmap.
Is there anyone trying to bridge that gap?
A few. Hill People Gear is the best example. Their kit bag was originally designed for backcountry hunters who needed chest access to bear spray, a GPS unit, and a pistol. Not tactical use. The design language is outdoor gear, not military gear. It looks like something you'd wear on a hike, which makes it socially legible in a way a DC-3RX isn't.
Socially legible. That's the phrase. A chest rig at the grocery store is illegible. People don't know what category to put you in, so they default to threat assessment. But a chest rig on a hiking trail, same exact product, reads as prepared outdoors person. The context changes everything.
And that's the problem for everyday carry. Most of our lives happen in contexts where tactical gear is illegible. The grocery store, the playground, the office, the coffee shop. You can't wear a chest rig in those spaces without generating friction.
Helicon Tex has a product called the Possum Waist Pack that tries to make chest carry look like outdoor gear rather than tactical gear. Tom Bean makes backpacks with genuine load-bearing hip belts that transfer weight to the pelvis, but they're backpacks, not chest rigs. Mystery Ranch and Evergoods apply load-bearing principles to civilian packs, frame sheets, sternum straps, padded hip belts, but none of them have cracked the chest carry problem. Because the chest is the most visible part of your body. Anything there reads as intentional in a way a backpack doesn't. A backpack says I'm carrying things. A chest rig says I'm ready for something.
And that's the parenting gap Daniel is living in. Parents need hands-free access to wipes, snacks, tools, phones. The biomechanics are sound. Parents already carry asymmetric loads constantly. A toddler on one hip is 15 to 30 pounds of shifting weight, and you're reaching for things with your free hand while compensating for the load. A chest rig that distributed diaper bag items across the torso would be ergonomic, but no major brand has made one that looks like a dad bag.
The closest thing is a fanny pack worn crossbody, which is what a lot of parents have arrived at independently. It's a chest rig that doesn't look like a chest rig.
Right, and it's worse ergonomically because it's a single strap and the load shifts when you bend over. But it passes the social legibility test. That's the trade-off everyone is making. Worse biomechanics for better aesthetics.
And here's the thing. Parents are already wearing their babies in chest carriers. The Baby Bjorn, the Ergo Baby, all those front-facing infant carriers. Those are chest rigs. Society has fully accepted the idea of a parent with a load-bearing system strapped to their chest, as long as the load is a human infant. The moment you swap the baby for diapers and wipes, it becomes weird.
That's a fascinating point. The form factor is identical. Shoulder straps, waist belt, load centered on the sternum. But the social meaning is completely different. A baby carrier says, nurturing parrot. A gear chest rig says, preparing for conflict. Same biomechanics, opposite social signals.
So where is the science actually going? You mentioned the University of Connecticut.
UConn's ergonomics lab has been studying dynamic load carriage. How the body adapts to shifting loads during movement, not just static weight. Their recent work, 2024 to 2025, found that distributed systems, chest plus hips plus thighs, reduce metabolic cost by up to 12% compared to hip-only carry. 12% is enormous in metabolic terms. That's the difference between finishing a hike feeling fine and finishing it exhausted.
12% less energy to carry the same weight, just by spreading it across more anchor points.
The next frontier is smart carry systems. Prototypes that sense load distribution in real time and adjust pouch placement or tension via haptic feedback. The idea is that your carry system would tell you, shift this pouch 2 inches left, your gait is compensating. That's still in the lab, but the direction is clear. The body is a unified system and the load should adapt to it, not the other way around.
Which brings us back to the central tension. The engineering is solid, the ergonomics are improving, and nobody wants to wear this stuff in public.
Let me put some numbers on the parenting use case specifically. A loaded diaper bag weighs about 10 to 15 pounds. That's the same weight class as a light military patrol load. The biomechanical demands are similar. Frequent bending, lifting, reaching, asymmetric loading when you're carrying the kid. The difference is that the soldier has a system designed for the load, and the parent has a canvas tote bag digging into one shoulder.
The parent who shows up at the playground in a chest rig is going to have a very quiet afternoon, because everyone else will relocate to the other side of the sandbox.
The stigma is stronger in parenting than in any other context. Tradespeople can wear tool belts and nobody blinks. Photographers can wear harness systems, and it reads as professional. Hikers can wear chest packs, and it reads as outdoor enthusiast. A parent in a chest rig reads as unhinged.
What would it take? If you were designing a chest rig for the parent market, what does it look like?
It looks like a Patagonia vest. Soft fabrics, muted colors, pockets that don't look like magazine pouches. No webbing, no buckles, no laser cut, anything. The attachment system is hidden. The silhouette reads as clothing, not gear. And it has to cost less than $100 because parents are already hemorrhaging money on everything else.
A Patagonia vest with internal MOLLE. That's the product.
Someone will figure this out eventually. The market is enormous. Every parent of a small child is a walking ergonomic disaster carrying 10 pounds of supplies in the least efficient way possible. The company that solves the aesthetics problem owns that market.
The thing I keep coming back to is that the military figured this out 25 years ago, and the civilian market is still treating it like a niche enthusiast thing. Why hasn't it crossed over?
Because the military doesn't care what you look like. Function is the only requirement. The civilian market cares deeply what you look like, and the companies that understand biomechanics don't understand aesthetics, and the companies that understand aesthetics don't understand biomechanics. They're different industries with different design languages and different customers.
You end up with a world where the best carry systems look like you're about to kick in a door, and the best looking carry systems are just backpacks that dump all the weight on your shoulders.
Backpacks are worse. All the weight on one shoulder if you're using a single strap, or all of it on your upper back with a sweaty contact patch if you're using both. No load distribution to the hips unless you have a frame and a hip belt, and most civilian backpacks don't. The ergonomic gap between a properly fitted MOLLE vest and a standard school backpack is vast.
I want to pause on that sweaty contact patch because it's a bigger deal than people admit. A backpack against your spine creates a thermal barrier. Your body can't dissipate heat through that contact area. On a hot day, you're trading load comfort for thermal discomfort. A distributed system with mesh panels lets air circulate. You're cooler and carrying the weight better. Two wins, same product, still can't wear it to the office.
That thermal issue is one of the things the military has studied extensively. They've got data on core temperature rise with different carry configurations. Vests with standoff mesh panels reduce heat accumulation by something like 40% compared to a backpack with a solid back panel. That's not a small difference. That's the difference between functional and heat exhausted on a long ruck.
Hilbert, you've been quiet back there.
I know you have opinions on why gear looks the way it does.
I worked 2 summers at Dick's Sporting Goods. Late 90s. Hunting and camping section.
Of course you did.
We had MOLLE vests. Customers wanted them for deer hunting. I had to assemble the displays and show people how to thread the webbing. Took forever. Every single person who bought one complained about the weight and the heat. Bought them anyway.
Because it looked cool.
Because it looked like what soldiers wear. the ergonomics were a happy accident. If the first modular system had been a beige fanny pack with Velcro, nobody would have adopted it. The aesthetics came first. The science caught up later.
You're saying the entire industry is running on vibes?
I'm saying the reason Molly won is that it looks the part. The load distribution science is real, but it's retroactive. Companies build gear that looks tactical or professional, and then researchers study why it works. Name one. Carry system designed from first principles of biomechanics rather than adapted from military gear.
The Yukon study is testing distributed systems based on biomechanical modeling, not just evaluating existing gear.
Testing existing configurations. Chest, hips, thighs. Those configurations exist because the military built them. The study tells you which one works best, not what you'd design if you started from scratch with no reference to military equipment.
That's actually hard to argue with. What would a from-scratch design even look like?
No idea. Nobody's built one. That's my point.
The counterexample might be something like the tough-built belt. It wasn't adapted for military gear. It was designed for construction workers.
It looks like a tool belt. Same pattern. The aesthetics came first. It looks like what a construction worker expects to wear. The magnetic clips and the load-bearing inner belt are real engineering, but they're engineering applied to a form factor that already existed.
The thesis is that form leads and function follows.
Form sells. Function keeps people from returning it. The companies that survive do both. But the thing that gets the product into someone's hands in the first place is whether it looks right for who they think they are.
That explains the parenting gap perfectly. There's no carry system that looks right for who parents think they are, so they buy diaper bags that are ergonomically terrible.
A diaper bag looks like a parent. A chest rig looks like a person who brought a rifle to the playground. Until someone makes a chest rig that looks like a parent, parents will carry diaper bags and their backs will hurt.
The company that makes that product has to understand that they're selling an identity, not a load distribution system.
They always are. Molly sold the identity of a soldier. Tough Built sells the identity of a tradesman. The engineering is real, but it's not what moves units.
The open question, and I think this is where we land, is whether the next generation of carry systems will be designed from biomechanics first, or whether we'll keep iterating on military hand-me-downs and hoping someone cracks the aesthetic code by accident.
The parenting market is the biggest untapped opportunity. Someone needs to make a chest rig that looks like a Patagonia vest and costs under $100. That product doesn't exist, and it should.
If smart fabrics and haptic feedback mature, we might see carry systems that actively redistribute load based on activity. But only if the aesthetics problem is solved first. Nobody is going to wear a haptic feedback vest that makes them look like a cyborg security guard.
I'm imagining the pitch meeting for that product. It vibrates to tell you your spine is misaligned, and it comes in coyote brown or olive drab. That's a hard sell at REI.
The body is a unified carry system. The industry just hasn't figured out how to make it look like one.
Before we wrap, one detail from the research that didn't fit anywhere else. The metabolic cost reduction from distributed carry, that 12% figure from Yukon, that's roughly equivalent to the energy savings of switching from running shoes to carbon fiber racing flats. Same order of magnitude. Except we're talking about carrying your daily items, not elite athletics. The low-hanging fruit in everyday ergonomics is enormous and almost completely unpicked.
That's the thing I'll be thinking about. 12% less energy to do the same tasks just by wearing a different arrangement of pouches. And we're all walking around with tote bags.
Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, for keeping us honest about why things look the way they do. This has been My Weird Prompts. If you've got a weird prompt, email the show at prompts@myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back soon.
See you tomorrow.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu, it's something. your head. Send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird props, that's the close from sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird props, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.